Live. Catch the podcast on kaya959.co.za.
My word. Gosh, what a way to start the show. You've done well.
Thank you, ma'am.
What are we talking about today?
So, today is Nelson Mandela's birthday.
Mm-hmm.
And so I thought it would be apt to focus on songs by female folk singers.
Mm.
And the reason why folk singers is because the whole concept behind folk music was about having something to say.
Mm.
And it started, well, it started in the 1950s, like the modern folk movement started in about the 1950s with the McCarthy trials in the United States, where a lot of artists were persecuted.
Mm.
And a lot of those artists were musicians, and they went underground to communicate their message.
Mm.
And since the 1950s and the advent of popular music as we know today, there's been almost like every decade, like a resurgence of folk music. Like, people have something to say.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of the early folk, and that's why you'll find that folk music, usually the tempo is much slower.
Mm.
Instrumentally, very minimal.
Mm-hmm.
The tempo is quite slow.
Mm.
And the reason for that is because you need to focus on the lyrics of the music, because the message is in the lyrics.
Mm.
Most of these songs were written by intellectuals, people that were pondering on what was happening in society at that specific time. And because of the McCarthy trials, it's sort of like was the grounding which formalized the way in which folk music was done, because they were forced to perform in these coffee houses, very underground. There wasn't a lot of space to have big ensembles, and so so the instrumentation was minimal, slow music, focus on the message, and so that is how it all evolved. So I chose six people to focus on. We started off with Thandi Mthuli. With her song New Way, which was released in 2018. And she's got quite an interesting story, because she comes from quite a musical family. She was brought up in Shoshanguve, but her grandfather was from Sophia Town.
Mm.
And what he, and if you know anything about Sophia Town, 1950s, also that era, it was like a hotbed for creatives.
Mm.
There were many creatives. And from my analysis, not that I was there back then, I know I'm old, but I'm not that old. The epicenter of creativity in Johannesburg at that time was in town.
Yeah.
And Sophia Town was the closest area to town. So a lot of creatives inhabited Sophia Town.
Yeah.
Huma Sakela, Maria Makeba, King Kong was written.
And it was multiracial.
It was multiracial. There was a lot of blending of different cultures and people and everything in Sophia Town. So there was a very, very strong.
And it wasn't classist. That's quite an interesting thing about South Africa, because generally right now you are distinctly going to find a suburb for rich people, a suburb for poor people,
exactly,
a township. And that was the dynamic thing about
Sophia Town.
It was just a melting pot, melting
it
pot.
It really was. And from what I've read, and so all these creatives like gathered in this area. It was also like the cheapest area that you could buy closest to town.
Mm.
And the reason was because there was like a sewage plant nearby. No one wanted to live there.
Mm.
And so all of these people, like young, hungry, up-and-coming artists, creatives, were living in this area. And Thandi Mthuli's grandfather was one of these people that was living in this area. And the way he encouraged his children and grandchildren to express themselves was by writing music.
Mm.
And that sort of filtered down to Thandi Mthuli. And she then became a musician herself. This was from her album Exiled. So obviously speaking about like feeling like you're not part of a society. And that's, I think, the big thing with exiled people is that they were they were South African, but they weren't in South Africa. Mm. But where they went to, they weren't welcome here. Mm. But where they went to, they weren't really that welcome there either. Mm. And so trying to adjust to these different environments and then coming back. But now you've come back and it's like 40 years later. Mm. So you don't really know what's going on in the country anymore. All your friends have either passed on or left or gone somewhere else. Mm. Or it's not the same dynamic as it was when you left. So that feeling of alienation, but yet this patriotism towards your country. The reason why I decided to focus on females is because this genre is heavily populated by a lot of male artists.
Oh, that's interesting.
Yes, like Bob Dylan and Leonard Cohen and et cetera, et cetera. And so I thought it was really cool to have a look at like female folk artists. Yeah. In particular, and I just thought Tandin Thuli.
And you've done well. I think I love the choice. So we're going to have a feast. Let's take a quick break before we continue. Tracy Chapman.
Legend.
You spoke about Tracy Chapman.
Yeah, because she performed at the Grammy Awards earlier this year.
Looked like exactly amazing. The same way.
Yeah, just with grey hair.
Yes.
But it's the same. So Tracy Chapman, I love the story of Tracy Chapman because it's like a story of like the underdog.
Yeah.
Who has, you know, she's been able to like outlive so much and still be around to this very day, although very reclusive.
Yeah.
But this was her.
I like that about her.
Yeah. That's a beauty.
That's exactly
it's that
enigma.
Exactly. Yeah. Which is what we loved about our rock stars back in pre-internet times, where, you know, everything was an enigma. And she's the type of person that just comes, does her job, and then leaves. This was from her first album called Tracy Chapman, and it was her first single off that album. And the song, so a lot of like folk songs now, if you listen to that Tracy Chapman song, it's the perfect folk song because it's exactly what folk songs should sound like. The guitar, usually guitar is the prominent instrument in a folk song. Very, very minimal instrumentation. Mm. The vocal is prominent because it's about the message. And this song talks about a woman trying to break the cycle of poverty and trying to be someone, you know, and she keeps on referring to that in the song. Interestingly enough, so that song went to number 6 in the United States in 1988 when it was released, and number 5 in the UK, and sold 3.6 million units. Most of the folk singers would write their own songs, so she wrote this song. And it won the Best Female Pop Vocal Performance Grammy Award in 1989. And then last year, this country musician called Luke Combs covered Fast Car, and the song just blew up like viral and went to number 2 in the United States. So it bettered her.
So these young people had not heard
the song. So they think it was a Luke Combs song, but it's actually a Tracy Chapman song. And so, you know, Tracy Chapman, iconic. And she signed a record deal, released this album, and within a few months was performing at the Nelson Mandela 70th birthday celebrations at Wembley in the UK. Within a few months of getting signed. She was a young girl at that time.
Yeah.
Anyway, so there was an incident at the concert. Stevie Wonder was supposed to play after her. So Tracy Chapman performed and Stevie Wonder was after her. And then the floppy disk on his keyboard was malfunctioning. And so he was removed from the stage. And they said, Tracy, you've got to go back on and perform. But now at this stage, she's just signed a record deal. Her repertoire is min. She just went on and just performed.
And played
And she just played. And apparently people loved her so much that it just helped catapult her career into superstardom. And that's how the story...
Isn't that like...
And that's what I love about Tracy. Because
moments.
Yes, and it's also not about like... because we're so used to the flash nowadays.
Well, record labels love that.
Exactly.
They want to create an image.
Yeah.
But that was not that about her.
No,
Tracy was the music.
Exactly. And she's just like a simple girl doing a thing. And that's what I love about Tracy Chapman. Yet, she's got phenomenal stage presence. So although there's not a lot of bells and whistles, what there is a star.
I'm still curious how she pulled that off. How she was able to get the record companies to back off. the imaging
and
thing.
Allow her to
exactly.
do what she did.
It doesn't happen.
Yeah, because one of our later artists that we're going to look at today, Joan Armatrading, that is what happened with her, is the record company started getting involved.
Yeah. Hello.
This Corinne Bailey Rae is like one of my all-time favorite artists. And once again, that's another like perfect example of a folk song, very like simple. It's about the beautiful voice and just a very simple guitar in the background, just something chilled. Guys, I'm treating you to something chilled so that tomorrow when you do go to work, not you Pamela, when the rest of the world goes to work tomorrow, they just chilled vibes, they're relaxed, they're having a great time. So this Corinne Bailey Rae is from Leeds in West Yorkshire in the UK. And she started playing violin at school, and then she moved from violin and started singing. She was very influenced by Lenny Kravitz, Jimi Hendrix, and Led Zeppelin in the early days, and she got her start in the church. Eventually, she studied English language and literature at the University of Leeds. Lots of folk singers are actually from poetry or literature backgrounds. Like Bob Dylan, for example, is one of the only musicians in history to have a Nobel Prize in literature. So so literature is like such a big thing.
I thought it was a big thing. And it was a big deal at the time.
Yes.
I mean, there was a lot of debate about
exactly
whether Bob Dylan should have had that Nobel Prize
yes.
or not.
He got it for his poetry. So poetry is a big thing with folk musicians. This song was nominated for Song of the Year, a Song of the Year Grammy Award. Her biggest single from this album was Put Your Records On, which was huge. The album went to number one in the UK and number four in the United States. The interesting thing is with her story, usually these artists go through a lot of like, there's like life experience which like marinates the music. So when she first started off, so this was 2000, this song was 2006. So she started in the industry about 2001. She met her husband, Jason Rae, and they became, he was also a musician. They got married. He was a saxophonist and he played for Amy Winehouse even. And then in 2008, 2 years after the song became a big hit, she got home one day and he was dead. And he died of a drug overdose. Incidentally enough, 3 years later, Amy Winehouse dies of exactly the same thing. And she then spiraled into this depression. She still continued releasing music. And since then, she got remarried in 2013 and is married to the same guy. And they've got a child now together. She never managed to have a child with the first husband, Jason Rae. But like that's the kind of life experience that like permeates through these artists and creates these philosophical discussions that then get communicated through the songs.
You're serving, hey? You look
it's
at
soul
you.
Soul music, baby.
Look at you.
Soul music. So I must be honest.
Yeah.
I had ideas of the artists that I wanted to highlight today.
Yeah.
And then with the South African artists, I was like, I asked my students, I was like, guys, I've got these ideas.
Yeah.
I want to include Zoe Madikga and Thandi Ntuli and all of them. Mm. And they were like, those guys are the perfect ones. So my students guided
some
of
the ones.
They were like, my students have got amazing musical taste.
No, this is amazing.
Anyways.
Kudos to your students.
Yes, South Downs College. You kids rock. All right, so this is Zoe Madikga. She's become really big.
Mm.
She's got a huge following.
She's huge, yeah.
This was released this year from her third album, Norm Tandazo. Norm Tandazo? Yeah, I think that's the title. And she started singing at local competitions at the age of 10. Once again, this would not be so much a traditional folk song because you could hear like other like more.
So Norm Tandazo is the name of the album, right?
Yes.
Okay. So this song is
called
Ngelosi.
Yeah. And but you can hear the instrumentation is very minimal. I mean, there's like some drums in the background. It's mainly the vocal on the song. Beautiful, beautiful vocal. She then moved to Johannesburg. So she's originally from Pietermaritzburg in KZN, and then moved to Johannesburg, where she went to study at National School of the Arts, which is where I started my career as a teacher. So she went to National School of the
Arts. Really, did you teach there?
Yes, I was the head of popular music at the National School of the Arts. Anyway, but she didn't study in that department. She studied classical piano, clarinet, and vocals. So, a highly talented musician. She eventually won the SAMRA Overseas Scholarship for Jazz in 2015. And you can hear the jazz elements in that piece of music that we just heard, Ngolozi. She's considered like the future and present voice of South African music. Mm. You can hear the roots of like Miriam Makeba and Yuma Sakela in that music. It's very evident that the roots go back to that. She said that this music from this current album is about healing. And you can hear it's like very smooth, very soothing kind of music. And that is Zoe Madikga. Our next artist is Joan Armatrading, who's like, for me, like Tracy Chapman sort of took the mantle from Joan Armatrading. But the thing with Joan, she started her career in 1972, and Tracy Chapman was nearly 20 years later in the late 1980s. She was born in St. Christopher and Nevis, which is an island in the West Indies. Then she moved to the UK. The song that we've chosen is called Love and Affection, which is probably one of her biggest hits. It was released in 1976. She started her career in 1972. In the 1970s, she was very much a folk singer, and you can hear it in this song that I've selected. But in the 1980s, the music started shifting, and that's because the record company then decided, no, she needed to be more commercial. Like, this folk thing wasn't working, and that's when she released Drop the Pilot, which became a big, big hit in the 1980s. But and then she sort of, like, has now faded into the background, has become, like, a grand dam of, like, popular music. But in the 1970s, she was very much a folk singer. And this is Love and Affection.
I just want to say thank you.
And you can hear some strong, like, African influences actually in that music, giving almost like Ladysmith Black Mambazo, the male vocal, background vocal in the song. So we end off the show with an artist called Msaki. This song was released in 2021. It's called Fetch Your Life.
Very current.
Yeah. And such a beautiful, the vocal on this song is so beautiful. It features, it's from her album Platinum Heat Beating Open. There were two versions of the album, like two different, like almost like feelings, you know, like the one album had this feeling and the other album had another feeling, like a part one and two. There was a Fetch Your Life that wasn't a part, was like part one, which included Prince KB on it. But she, Msaki, wrote the song with Prince KB, and this version of the song was written exclusively by Msaki. The song says that when she was, she says that when she was creating this album, she wanted to create a protest album, which fits right into the narrative that we're trying to push today, which is this folk singer, the protest, people having a say about what they're feeling. So this song is called Fetch Your Life.
That's
Part
it.
Two.
That's how we end the show for the week, and we'll be back on Monday at 8.
If you missed it live, catch the podcast on kaya959.co.za.